This is a Triple J podcast.
I'm here in Bondi Beach, an iconic location in Australia. I'm looking out at the water and it is as beautiful as it's ever been. But the feeling here is so much different. Less than a day ago, something terrible unfolded here. Australia's worst mass shooting in 30 years. Now, the community's trying to figure out what happened and come to terms with what this means for us as a country going forward. I'm Dave Marchese. This is a special edition of Hack from Bondi.
It was a bloodbath. It was an absolute massacre.
Two men, mini sniper, boom, boom, boom.
Sheer panic in Bondi.
Everyone was just running.
I never thought I would see this in Australia, not in my lifetime.
Australia is braver than those who seek to make us afraid.
In just 24 hours, Australia's changed. It feels like that, doesn't it? Flags are flying at half-mast. People are in disbelief because we're the main news story around the world. The Bondi Beach shooting leaving 15 people dead. The shooter also killed one of them, the youngest victim, just 10 years old. And that community has been shaken to its core. I spent the day in Bondi and the scene, I've got to tell you, was horrifying. Cars abandoned, bags and clothes left where people just left them as they ran for their lives. I spoke with locals. Some were so traumatised, though, they couldn't speak. People breaking down into tears. Many still trying to figure out what the hell happened yesterday.
Hack.
So I was in the back of a bar and all of a sudden everyone around it was just widespread panic. It was very surreal. Nobody had any information. We didn't know if it was a hate crime. We didn't know if there was the active shooter. All we were hearing was semi-automatic weapon. It was terrifying.
Yeah, this is where we come to go for a swim. This is where we come to surf. This is where we come to have a beer with our mates. And as an Australian, I'm angry to see this on our beaches. And, you know, this is not how it should be, and the lives lost yesterday is just extraordinary.
We heard about the man who single-handedly disarmed the gunman, and you know, he was Muslim, and I hope that he can be an example for the unity that our country really needs at this time.
On Triple J.
Yes, some of the Bondi locals I was speaking with today, they're confused, they're anxious, they're angry, they want more information. So what do we know? Well, a massive police investigation is obviously underway to figure out how this mass act of terrorism could have happened. What's behind it? New South Wales police confirming today the two gunmen were a father and son. And while police are not looking for anyone else involved in the attack, hundreds of officers were deployed this morning as part of a community safety campaign to help make the public feel safe. Hack reporter April McLennan has this update, and just a warning, it does contain distressing content.
There were two persons involved yesterday. There were two persons in this atrocity.
We now know the names and ages of the two men that New South Wales police say are responsible for the terrorist attack in Bondi last night. Father Sajid Akram and his son Naveed.
The 50-year-old is deceased. The 24-year-old is currently in hospital at the moment.
The men were Australian residents living in Sydney.
The son is an Australian-born citizen. The father arrived in 1998 on a student visa.
At a press conference today, the New South Wales Police Commissioner Mal Lanyon says the father was a licensed gun owner with six firearms.
There was very little knowledge of either of these men by the authorities.
The ABC is also reporting the spy agency ASIO took an interest in the son, Naveed, 6 years ago for ties to a Sydney-based Islamic State terrorism cell. ASIO says it will look into that now.
One of these individuals was known to us, but not in an immediate threat perspective, so obviously we need to look into what happened here.
There's also reports an IS flag was found in a car the men were using at Bondi. Let me take you back to last night. Over 1,000 people were gathered in a park at Bondi to mark the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. It was a warm, sunny evening, interrupted by gunshots, which started ringing out around 6:45 p.m. Then confusion and panic as two men in black stood on a footbridge and opened fire.
I just looked over and there was like a sea of people just like storming the beach, and people were jumping into the restaurant and like hiding under our own table.
I mean, I saw a little boy and he couldn't find his mum, and I just didn't know what to do because I just wanted to be safe.
And then someone said, there's a shooting at the pavilion, and I realised my daughter was there, and I just ran down. I heard the gunshots on my way down, and my daughter rang me. They were in lockdown, and she said, please, Mum, don't come.
The attack lasted minutes as the gunmen continued shooting. In verified videos, it's clear they had multiple firearms.
I just saw a bunch of people screaming, run towards me. I didn't know what was going on.
Later, in an extraordinary act of bravery, video shows a Sydney man jumping from behind a parked car and wrestling the gun from the shooter. This hero is Ahmed Alamed, a 43-year-old father of two. He was hit by gunfire twice in the moments that followed.
Yeah, he had two shots, one in his arm here and one in his hand.
From here, police and members of the public swarm the bridge, and both men can be seen slumped on the ground. Several explosive devices were later recovered from the scene by the bomb disposal unit.
I want to make it very clear that the New South Wales Police will not tolerate the types of violence or the types of anti-Semitic behaviour that we have seen.
Just after 9:30 p.m, the incident was declared an act of terrorism. Of the innocent people who were killed, we now have some details. There's Matilda, just 10 years old, Rabbi Eli Schlanger, and Dan El Kayam from France. There's also Holocaust survivor Alexander Kleitman, Rabbi Yaakov Levitan, retired detective Peter Ma, and businessman Reuven Morrison. New South Wales Ambulance Commissioner Dominique Morgan says 42 people were also injured, including two police officers.
It is not uncommon in these major incidents for members of the community, sometimes often with very serious injuries, to make their own way to hospitals so that they are not burdening the resources, the services. This is what it means to be Australian.
There's also been a surge in people donating blood today, with the Lifeblood website crashing.
We've been absolutely overwhelmed with response from the country, and I want to thank everyone for that.
Amid all the pain today, there's also anger, as survivors ask, how did this happen?
What happened to Australia? How the f*** is this in Bondi Beach? It's my beach.
Hack on Triple J.
April McLennan reporting there. This is Hack, a special edition covering the Bondi Beach terrorist attack. I'm Dave Marchese. It is a horrible day in Australia. People coming to terms with what has happened. More than a dozen people left dead, many more injured. I want to know how you're feeling about this. If you're Jewish, if you're in Bondi or Sydney, wherever you are in Australia, what has been running through your head over the past 24 hours? 0439 757 555. Well, two of the young Jewish Australians I caught up with today were Sam and Jazz, and they opened up about how they're feeling and what they think needs to change and why they say anti-Semitism in this country has to be taken a lot more seriously. Sam, you're a Bondi local.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Very dazed. As a Bondi local and a member of the Jewish community, I have to say the overwhelming sentiment is shock but not surprise. There's been a feeling of inevitability about this moment for a very long time, and we're extremely distressed that it's happened. My heart just breaks for the trauma that the community is going to go through and the loss of innocence of our beautiful city and this beach.
You mentioned you're upset, but you're also feeling a bit unsurprised that you thought this was inevitable.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through those feelings? Why do you feel like that? And do you feel a lot of your community, your family, your friends also felt like something like this was going to happen?
So growing up as a Jew in Sydney, this has been one of the best places to be a Jew, probably in the history of the world. We're a post-World War II community. My grandfather, who just passed away, he was a Holocaust survivor. He came here for a better life, and we got that life and then some in Sydney, beyond anybody's wildest dreams. We've been able to practice our religion freely, wear kippot in the street, walk to synagogue. I went to Jewish school. There was always this feeling that we were a target. We're a minority community. There's only 15 million Jews in the world. And in Australia, there's a couple hundred thousand. In Sydney, there's 40 or 60,000 of us. The last 2 years, things have just become turbocharged. Since October 7, there has been a deterioration in sentiment towards the Jewish community. We have been pushed into a corner. Because we're a minority community, that's not a good place to be. And I feel like we really need a bear hug from Australia. I don't know what that bear hug looks like, but we need an embrace because we are shattered.
Do you feel let down by politicians, by governments? A lot of anger I've noticed today, people saying, how did this happen and why wasn't more done to stop something like this? What are your thoughts on that, Sam?
I don't know what I could suggest to a politician. I just think that it's up to us as individuals to ask ourselves the hard questions, politicians included, and they're the ones with a lot of the power. But I'm looking around Bondi today. There's such an outpouring of love and support. These people have taken it upon themselves to come down here and express solidarity with us, and that means the world. We need people to speak up for us and just stand against racism, stand against anti-Jewish sentiment, against all forms of bigotry. We can all do better. Every one of us. We can just speak up, stand up for our fellow man. We have a responsibility to one another. It's not about what you believe, where you come from. It's just, this should not happen in Sydney. I'm at a loss for words. I think it's really distressing that Sydney, Australia, and Bondi Beach, our beach, is now going to be synonymous with such horrible events that have happened across the world at so many other places. I refuse to believe that it's changed us forever.
Jazz, what's it been like in the hours since? Obviously, last night was very traumatic. This morning, waking up to a new day and coming to terms with exactly what has happened.
Yesterday, I was more in shock out of anything else. I wasn't surprised, but I was in shock. And then waking up this morning, I live just here in Bondi, waking up to helicopters and just the constant buzz of helicopters like we can hear now, I think really brought it home. And it really made me realise, oh my God, this actually has happened. This isn't a horrific nightmare that we're hearing about from overseas. This has happened right here in our backyard. So as a Jewish community, we have faced firebombings in our neighbourhoods, graffiti on our places of worship, at our schools. We've had, me personally, slurs at me on the street. You know, like, it's, these things just build and build and build until they reach a point where they explode into what happened yesterday.
So people have confronted you on the street?
Yeah, for wearing the necklace that I'm wearing right now.
So you're wearing the Star of David.
Yes.
Has it ever made you scared to wear it or second guess wearing it and demonstrating that you are Jewish publicly?
Do you know what? If anything, it's solidified my resolve to keep wearing it, which I think is a common sentiment among a lot of people. I'm seeing a lot of necklaces and a lot of paraphernalia. I think it just shows that when they try to divide us, it just makes us stronger. So, no, I'm not scared. Not in this country. Not yet, anyway.
Where do we go from here, Jazz? Like, if you think about the community, society, moving forward next year, into next year, coming to terms with what has happened in your home suburb, what does the future look like?
I'm not a policymaker, but I definitely think that we need stronger policy. We need politicians who actually act, not just say. That I just hope out of this, Hanukkah is the festival of light, and Hanukkah is meant to teach us that a little bit of light can go a long way. So I just really hope that from this, as a wider community, not just a Jewish community, but the wider community, can rally up together and we can really, really hope and prevent something like this ever happening again.
For 2 years, there have been marches that have taken place with rhetoric like globalize the intifada that has been waved away as being acceptable language. When we hear calls to globalize the intifada, this is what it looks like. Please stop using that. There are plenty of other phrases you can call for, like peace in the Middle East, coexistence.
It's trendy to hate Jews right now, to be honest. It's trendy to hate Israel, and look what happens as a result of it. Innocent people are getting killed in our backyard in beautiful Bondi. And I think this really just demonstrates that this is not just a Jewish problem, but this is an everyone problem right now. It starts with us and it can spread. So language is can be detrimental, but it can also do the opposite.
Hack on Triple J.
Yeah, that's Sam and Jazz, two young Jewish Australians, about how they feel about what happened in Bondi yesterday. And as you can hear, the Jewish community is reeling at the moment, not just in Sydney, but around the world. We're hearing from you on the text line as well. Someone says, Ahmed Al-Ahmed is a genuine hero. That man should be made Australian of the Year. Such bravery, referring to the person who did wrestle a gun off one of the gunmen. Another person says, I'm absolutely heartbroken. Just in the past year, Australia has seemed like such a scary place from the one we once knew it to be. Another person says, I heard the news this morning while getting ready for work. I started crying while trying to do my makeup. I got to work and heard one of my co-workers' friends was amongst those killed. A wild day of emotions. And somebody else says, I live in regional New South Wales and I couldn't believe it when I first saw there was a shooting in Bondi. I wept and wept for those poor people. I've now booked in to give a blood donation tomorrow. We need to come together, support our Jewish communities and tighten gun laws, someone says there. Well, look, we've also been hearing a lot from politicians right around the world.
Hack.
But to Australia and the Prime Minister, that's a terrible situation going on over there. Think of that.
Your government did nothing to stop the spread of anti-Semitism in Australia.
Has your government failed Jewish Australians when their worst nightmare was realised last night?
My government will continue to stand with Jewish Australians and continue to stamp out anti-Semitism in all of its forms.
This is a shocking act of violence and it needs to be met with an overwhelming government, community and police response.
I've been holding my breath, fearing that something like this would happen.
This is an act of evil done by evil people.
It is time to also look at our migration and where people are coming from.
The government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws.
Hack on Triple J.
Yes, some of the political reaction to the Bondi terrorist attack, this anti-Semitic massacre that's leading headlines around the world, and it happened right here in our own country. Lots of politicians were in Bondi today, including Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. You just heard a bit from him. But also local independent MP Allegra Spender and the opposition leader Susan Lee was speaking with locals. I caught up with both of them just metres from Bondi Beach.
There's devastation, there's deep grief for the people that have been lost, there's anger. There's a range of emotions here, but the whole community is devastated.
There does seem to be a lot of frustration aimed at politicians. I don't know what you think of that, but people feel that there hasn't been enough action to address anti-Semitism in the community. Mm-hmm. You're a local member. How do you respond to that?
People are right to be angry and upset and to say, what can we do? We don't know yet what could have been done, what happened with these people. We have to understand who they were to understand what actions, if any, could have prevented it. But I think people are angry and people are upset right now. And I think we have to come back to, we all need to do more. It's something, I care a lot about is hate speech, because what I fear desperately is that, it is okay to disagree, it is okay to have strong views, but it is not okay to have hatred and spread hatred between members of our community. That's the bright line I think we need to draw, and I think that is, that is of enormous concern to me.
Susan Lee, thank you very much for speaking with us. You've been speaking with a lot of locals this morning. What have you been hearing?
I'm encountering a community in complete and total shock, bewildered, distressed. People are walking around as if they're in a dream from which they might wake up. And this might be Bondi Beach that we all know and love.
This has really upset you. How has it been chatting with all of those people? It's obviously very deeply impacted you.
It's very important to listen to what people are saying and not to give messages but to simply listen. And people are angry, they're upset. They looked to the leadership of this country, and today they tell me they've found it failing. Anti-Semitism is not a problem to be solved. It's an evil to be eradicated. And we have to change what we do as a country from today.
So how do we do that? Do you have any plan to tackle anti-Semitism and hate in Australia? What's your solution?
I made some remarks in a press conference earlier, and I specifically pointed to the Prime Minister's envoy, Gillian Seagull, and her detailed report that was given to the government several months ago, and it contains recommendations. I spoke to Gillian then, I spoke to her this morning, and those recommendations are sound, and they need to be implemented, and they need to be implemented immediately, and all political leaders need to hear what the community is saying, because this is a crime against all Australians, but it is particularly a crime against the Jewish community who it targeted here last night.
How do you feel about some of the commentary from other politicians, maybe some of your colleagues who've put out statements and are saying this is an example of where immigration's failed us, it's an example of why multiculturalism doesn't work? How do you respond to those comments?
Today is a day, first and foremost, to remember that we have family members sitting at the bedsides across multiple hospitals. The most important thing we can talk about today is this community and how hurt it is and how we think about healing.
Are you worried about the heat in the political discussion, though, that in the days and weeks ahead that there is a lot of heat and that people are feeling very angry and what that could lead on to?
Australians want to see their leaders act with clear-eyed clarity on the national interest, on social cohesion, on the things that matter. But right now, today, what we're seeing is, I believe, the consequences of a period of anti-Semitism that has been rising and rising. The most important focus that we should all have is how we combat that anti-Semitism.
Do you think security officials have failed Australians? There's some reports out today from the ABC that one of the gunmen was investigated for links to Islamic State back in 2019. People are rightfully asking questions.
The agencies, whether it be our local New South Wales Police or our security agencies, are doing incredible work. They have done incredible work. They continue to do that. I'm not going to second guess what the speculation is about various individuals, courses of action, etc. It's not the day to do that. It's the day to wrap our arms around the people here and the wider community who feels this so, so deeply.
And just finally, Susan Lee, your message to Jewish Australians, what is that today?
We stand with you. We're here for you. We love you and we believe in you.
Susan Lee, thanks for joining us. Opposition leader Susan Lee there speaking to me in Bondi earlier. This is a special edition of Hack on the Bondi terrorist attack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm hearing from you on the text line now. Someone says, I'm not Jewish, but I am an ethnic minority. Australia has started to feel less safe with the rise of anti-immigration sentiment. I want everyone to remember that we're all members of the same community, regardless of background. We all need to support each other and not create an us versus them narrative. Amber says, it makes me sad for our future generations that this even happens, to think of the racial discrimination that will come from this. And someone else says, I talked to my Jewish friend last night and she said she thinks this was inevitable, which, yeah, is something that I heard from so many Jewish people in Bondi today. They had expected something like this would happen. So were there signs that counter-terrorism officials, police officers, spies all missed? And could this have been prevented? There's some of the questions that are being asked right now. People are wondering how someone who had been on ASIO's radar was reportedly ultimately not monitored. To talk about all of this, let's bring in Josh Ruse, who's an Associate Professor of Politics at Deakin University. He specialises in political and religious violent extremism and terrorism. Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Australia's terror threat level right now, is it probable? Can you tell us exactly what that means?
In effect, it means there's at least a 50% success, chance of a terror attack occurring in the immediate future. Now, that could rise. It effectively means on the balance of probabilities, there will be an attack sometime soon.
And how likely is it that that terror threat will be lowered anytime soon? Does it normally last a few days after an attack, or we just don't know when it may be lowered?
It's been in place for some time. It's unlikely it's going to be lowered. I think there's certainly scope for discussion, although I'm not privy, obviously, to the material that our agencies are accessing, for it to be heightened. The immediate aftermath of terror attacks is a very dangerous period of time. Because you know, that we don't know what other plots are out there, because often these things can be linked, but also B, because of stochastic terrorism, so copycat terrorism, people who are inspired by the act, who are seeking to conduct their own act and build upon it.
Josh, we're hearing that one of the gunmen, the son, Naveed Akram, was once investigated by ASIO as part of an IS cell, but that otherwise authorities didn't know much about him or his father. How much of a concern is that to you?
Obviously, a significant issue when someone has got pre-existing links and then goes out and carries out a terrorism attack. We don't know a lot about that potential link. Not a lot of information has come out in the reporting, nor has the government spoken about it. However, we know that there's extremist ecosystems that are basically in existence. And this is across the spectrum of extremist actors, be it Salafi jihadists, which is where this would fit, be it the extreme right. And we know that Jewish communities are wedged firmly between, at the moment, the extreme right and the neo-Nazis calling for their annihilation on the one hand, and Salafi jihadists who also are calling for their eradication. So this is a really critical element of having to understand not only what's going on in the extreme right, but also what's going on in these circles. Incredibly resource intensive and time intensive, and you know, for people to slip through the cracks is not unusual.
This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with Associate Professor of Politics at Deakin, Josh Roos. We're speaking about Australia's terror threat level in the wake of the Bondi terrorist attack over the weekend. Josh, I want to talk about firearms because we know Sajid Akram was a registered gun owner and that he owned 6 firearms. Do you think that demonstrates that Australia's gun laws need to change? Because that is something that's getting discussed a lot at the moment.
It's certainly something that needs to be explored. Australia's gun laws have been, by and large, for the past 30 years, fit for purpose. And we know that there hasn't been a mass attack like this since Port Arthur. And that actually speaks to the success of the laws in their current form. However, there are significant potential loopholes that need to be explored. For example, when someone has an extremist ideological orientation and a close family member or acquaintance has access to registered firearms, that could be something that requires further investigation. The accumulation of 6 weapons is also something that requires investigation. When did that occur? Was it a recent period of acquisition where he's bought 3 or 4 of them at once? Should that have flagged something? There's a lot to discuss, but we should also base our public policy on evidence and not knee-jerk reactions. We need to understand exactly what's going on before we change any laws.
And just quickly and briefly, Josh, I mean, do you think Australians should really be concerned? There are a lot of people out there who are feeling pretty anxious about the country we're living in. How do you think they should be feeling, behaving in the months ahead?
I think we're in a really polarised environment. We have been since the pandemic. And I think that we've got to look for some sort of opportunity or hope here. And the hope is that this acts as a catalyst for an important societal level conversation about who we are as a people. We saw the worst of Australia, but we've also seen the best of Australia when you've seen bystanders step up and tackle gun-wielding terrorists. And to that extent, and both Muslim. So this doesn't fall on any one community, but what it does require is that we address the hard questions and have those hard conversations, because if our government doesn't and we try to shut down the debate, we're going to force it online and we're going to see people carry out those debates without a deeper context, yeah. And we're going to see further radicalisation. So we've got to have a public conversation about where to from here.
Josh Roos from Deakin University, very much appreciate your time.
Thanks for your time.
And we've got a lot of messages still coming through. Someone says, I'm Jewish and I had a quick chat with a man while walking my dog. When he realised I was Jewish, he hugged me. He told me how sorry he was for what happened and then he left. I had two colleagues come into work on their day off to check in and hug me. We need this in our lives, to be there for each other. Another person says, let's also remember that multiculturalism gave us a true hero yesterday. All right, that is all for Hack for now. This special edition to wrap up the Bondi terrorist attack. Hack is off your radio over summer, but we will be on your podcast feed and on socials.